You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Mike, what's going on with gold?
Well, last year, gold broke out above 2,100, a level that had been holding it down as resistance for over 2 years at that point. It had been consolidating below that level. So by breaking above it and then rallying last year, it basically, you know, on the charts began another leg in a big bull market. And that bull market's simply been accelerating as this year has began. Around New Year's, gold was around 2650. And as we're speaking, it's above 2800. And I think the factors behind the rally in gold are really just more important than ever for it. And that is that people outside the United States are the primary buyers of gold. And with the new administration, he's increased global tensions. For instance, the tariffs come and go or whatever, but the tough talk with Mexico and Canada, talk about annexing Greenland. This week there's a threat against Panama. Senator Rubio went to Panama. Well, I mean, now he's the head of the State Department, but he went to Panama a couple days ago. And after his trip, someone from the State Department said that the Panama government has agreed to allow American vessels to go through the canal free of charge. Now, this morning, the president of Panama said that's not true, that he never agreed to that. So they're now under some sort of threat. And then the other day, Trump talked about annexing Gaza, possibly sending American soldiers over there. It's hard to imagine all these things are going to happen. And I'm not trying to say one way or the other if they are or not, or if they're good or not. I'm just going to argue that this is making it so Trump could be seen as the world's greatest gold salesman for people to buy gold. And they'd already been doing that. The Chinese central bank had been buying gold now for the past couple years, or accelerating those purchases. But when Putin invaded Russia, when Putin invaded Ukraine, and the United States basically sterilized their banking system, kicking them out of the SWIFT system, that sent a message to countries all over the world, or governments all over the world, that, you know, the U.S. is willing to use the dollar as a weapon. So I think that's one reason central banks outside the United States have been accumulating gold. Now, inside the United States, last year, Americans were net sellers of gold ETFs, the metals ETFs. And by the end of the year, they actually had more money in Bitcoin ETFs than gold ETFs. So that's where the American investor is at, much different from what's going on outside the United States. So I'm trying to argue that what's driving this gold bull market is buying outside the United States.
Now, Bitcoin, is that a better bet than gold in tough times?
I would say it isn't, and what's happened this year demonstrates what I've been arguing for several years, and that is that when the NASDAQ has a down day, Bitcoin falls, and usually falls even more. So a week ago, on a Monday, there was this Chinese AI news, and you know that they've got a competition that's cheaper to use. And that hurt American technology stocks. NVIDIA in particular gapped down close to 20%. It had the single biggest market cap day loss in all financial history. in Bitcoin collapsed too, or I should say took a big hit. It did not act as a safe haven. Gold went down just a few dollars on the open and ended up green that day. So what Bitcoin and cryptos do is at times they go up more than the stock market when the stock market rises. But when the stock market, the U.S. stock market has a pullback, and NASDAQ in particular, Bitcoin just simply falls more. So I think the next time there's a bear market in the U.S. stock market, Bitcoin will completely crash, just as it did in 2022, just as it did in 2018, just as it did in 2020, and just as it's always done every single time there is a 10% or greater pullback in the stock market. So it's a gambling instrument, instrument of speculation, and that's, you know, nothing more than that. You know, when Bitcoin first hit the scene, we were told that it was going up because of the blockchain technology, and this blockchain, everyone was going to use it, you know, and this was 8 years ago. And that didn't happen, and we were told that everyone's going to use Bitcoin as money and would replace the dollar. And no one uses Bitcoin as money except for criminal money launderers. So now what we're left with is that, you know, Bitcoin is going to simply go up because it will go up and because people will buy it, number go up, so to speak. And that's the lure of all crypto coins now. And again, you know, this year the two, you know, outside Bitcoin, we saw the launch of the Trump coin and the Melania coin. You know, same sort of thing. They fascinate, not because of any intrinsic investment value that they represent ownership in anything, but simply because they can go up, and they did go up. And that draws buyers into it. But I think all this, Bitcoin has a very big danger ahead of it, because of the ownership of those Bitcoin ETFs that were purchased last year by millions of American investors. In fact, a wild statistic, Fidelity, which is one of the biggest brokerages in the United States, they launched a Bitcoin ETF, and their customers have more money in their Bitcoin ETF than the Fidelity Treasury Bond ETF or Bond Market ETF. So that's insanity. They're basically, you know, traditionally bonds are considered where you put what you want to be the safe part of your portfolio, and these Fidelity people have more in Bitcoin ETFs. What this tells me is that I don't really think, you know, people put a lot of thought into the strategy that they're using, or, you know, what they're really doing when they bought these ETFs last year. And because so many people do own them, when the stock market does have another bear market or 10% or more correction, these ETFs are going to really be huge drags on people's portfolios, and they will end up selling them because they bought them on a silly whim, and they'll sell them just as quickly as they bought them once they suffer losses big enough for that to happen. But we're not there yet. I'm not even suggesting that's going to happen this year. But the future one day will be very bad for people involved in Bitcoin and owning these ETFs.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, how are other metals doing, silver, palladium, platinum, and all this?
Well, silver so far has been slightly lagging gold. Gold made a new high recently. It's bumping right. It's looks like it's headed to 3,000. It's above 2,900 right now. Silver has not made a new high. Silver has not gone through the high of November. Silver is still basically formed. You know, silver broke out of $26 last year, a level that was holding it down for 2 years, And then it hit $35 about in October. And it's been it started to trade in a range with, you know, $29.50, $30, somewhere in there as support. Now it's at around $33. It's still in a range, but I fully expect it will follow gold's lead and break out to the upside in the coming months and do very well. And I think the same is the case with copper. Copper, a little similar to silver in a certain sense. It had a big rally last year. It's been in a range now for the past couple months. It looks like it's in a position to break out pretty soon. So, you know, I'm positive on copper, on palladium. I got to say, though, that when it comes to commodities in general, historically, the metals complex, which we've just spoken of, has been a leading indicator of the future of commodities across the board. So when gold and silver turned up last year, that was a sign that, look, commodities are not going to keep falling. If anything, they're going to firm up. And commodities have been going up. Commodities have been going up this year. The CRB index is above the highs of last year. It also has broken out. Some commodities are really taking off. The price of coffee in the futures market is around $4. A year ago, it was less than $2. So, you know, these commodities are going up, and I think that's a sign that the inflation is likely to increase over the course of this year, not go down as the Federal Reserve was predicting in September. They predicted back then that CPI annualized would get down to 2%. Obviously, that did not happen, and they abandoned that prediction at the last Federal Reserve meeting last week. So this is, look, if you own crypto and these coins, get out. Buy commodities, buy gold and silver, buy something real. That's my basic thing I would tell people to do.
Now, why do you think Americans are leery of gold and so into crypto? Is it just because crypto goes up so fast?
Yeah, that, and frankly, they really were ignoring it until 2017. It wasn't a mass phenomena. And then 2017, it started to become one. And at the time of that year, gold, you know, still was much, you know, was not going up like it is now. It had a horrible bear market from 2012 to 2016. Only people in the gold industry or, you know, close followers or long-term investors of it were still involved. And Bitcoin exploded on the scene at a time when gold and silver, you know, weren't really a thing in people's minds anymore. And then, as the years went on, there are financial publishing companies that publish newsletters, trading services, and so forth, and they need to get customers. And they ran advertising campaigns all over the internet to do it. And the way the internet algorithms work is that the advertisements that are able to get the highest click-through rates get shown the most and cost the least. So the internet, the algorithms of social media and everything, YouTube, everything, it prioritizes the things that get the most clicks. And what happened was in 2018, the financial publishing company Agora launched a Bitcoin promotion publication with James Altucher, in which he had ads all over the internet with cryptos in his eyes, Bitcoins in his eyes, and laser eyes and all this kind of stuff. This is back in 2018. Well, that promotion at the time made history in the terms of being the most successful financial publishing promotion ever in terms of garnering the most number of buyers. It was, most of them came from Facebook. So what I'm trying to say is that in 2018, internet social media ads were just flooded with Bitcoin crypto ads. And not only was the price going up, but these advertisements were in everyone's face all the time. And that had a effect of programming the people using the internet to, you know, see the ads, believe in the ads, and it took over their minds. Now, I didn't understand. I mean, I knew this was going on at the time, but since then, there's actually been scientific work and studies, not simply done in academia, but done inside the American national security state on how to use memes and social media to influence people. And the Pentagon coined a term for it called, and they call it memetic engineering. And they've done a couple experiments of influence campaigns, one in the Philippines a couple years ago. If I don't want to talk about it in detail, but someone can, if you're interested, type Philippines memetic engineering Pentagon, and you can read about what they did. But the point of me saying this is to say that Bitcoin was programmed through people's brains using memetic engineering. It took them over in the United States, and that's still how they are. The only thing that will break that programming is a complete and total crash in Bitcoin, and then a long bear market where people simply completely give up on it. And again, I don't think that's coming this year, but I do think it's going to happen at some point in the next couple years. And only then will people, you know, break free of it. But it's like a cult. There's no other way to put it. It's just, it's taken over the financial media in the United States. The Bitcoin gurus are everywhere. And also another thing, too, is that it's a lot of desperation. You know, if I talk about buying gold or investing in that with somebody, they don't think it goes up fast. They think it's like, oh, you're parking your money somewhere. Even though gold has done very well in just the past 12 months, I mean, it's up 10%, over 10%. They're not aware of that. They're not aware of it. And to them, a 10% gain isn't exciting as what they see the Bitcoin gurus promise, and that is, you know, 100 times your money. You know, they predict Bitcoin's going to go to 1 million. And then these other coins, you make 1,000 times percent on your money. So it's just the promises that are made. People believe in the promises, much like a gambling addict won't stop playing the slot machine. You know, in their mind, if they keep playing, they'll hit a jackpot. Although, if you mathematically, they're more likely to go bankrupt. And with crypto, you know, even if you have a chance to 100 times your money, you're still taking on tremendous risk. But for people who have very little money, or a lot of debt, which is the situation for millions of people in the United States, you know, there's like a two-strata society now where people that have stocks and own their home are well off because those have all appreciated, but people who don't own many stocks, don't own a house, can't afford rent or can't afford a mortgage, the promise of Bitcoin to them is their only choice because a 10% return to them isn't enough to get out of the financial hole that they feel like they're born into. So, you know, one thing, you know, I've heard said is inflation, which is one thing we've had the past couple of years, it really destabilizes a society and it makes people unable to determine the value of money. And I think that's kind of what's happened. You know, for many people, rising egg prices now, but it's always rising coffee prices tomorrow, rising housing prices the past couple years, just rising prices in general causes people not to think, well, a 10% return, a 20% return, or a 30% return isn't enough. And Bitcoin is offered up as a solution by thousands, if not tens of thousands of people on social media who say these things because either they believe it or they know that this is the thing to say to get the algorithms to push their message. And YouTube does it. Twitter X does it. Facebook does it. And, these companies, especially the latter two, the people that own them, have interest in the crypto industry. Elon Musk does. And Zuckerberg is toyed with the idea of creating some sort of coin for his company. I don't know what the story is with that now, but so we're in a media echo chamber, and the influence of these networks on people's minds now is it's hard to underestimate.
Do Robin Hooders play any role in what's happening right now?
Well, they have, because the surge in those people, they hit the scene in 2020 when the government lockdowns happened and the economy had a hard contraction and people were getting these payments with nothing else to do on their time. And sports gambling was shut down for a while. And a lot of those people jumped into crypto and stocks. And Robinhood was the chosen broker of the moment because they were the first one to offer zero commissions and made it, so you trade by an app. And they pushed crypto too. And I opened up an account back then to see what it was like. And every email I got from them at the top highlighted Bitcoin, every single one, and encouraged one to take gambles and risks that a traditional brokerage would not. What happened in 2022 when the stock market fell, millions of Bitcoin people wiped out. The company made a pivot into selling credit cards to people. And, I don't know what they're doing now, but it's, it's what they did.
Anything going on with uranium?
Well, uranium, I actually think it's not really happening yet, but one thing I'll say about the Trump administration is that they are against so-called green energy funding and solar farms, wind, and this kind of stuff. And if funding is cut for, let's just say, solar farms, it would become much more difficult for any solar farms to be built. I'm not advocating for solar farms at all when I say this. What I am saying is that the only other clean energy alternative that is sensible and would be big enough to truly displace coal and gas and so forth is nuclear. So I think uranium should benefit in the next couple years from changes in policy regarding the energy industry from the federal government.
Mike, anything else you're keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I'll just say this last thing, and that is the S&P 500, had two big years, up 20% both years. And I'm not bearish on the market right now, but I'll say I'm not that bullish either, because when you get two big year gains, typically the market spends the next year not doing very much. So right now, as we're speaking, the S&P 500 is not much further away than where it was on the very first day of December. I think the volatility in the market's going to shrink. We're going to get, gap downs and gap ups and short-term gyrations, but I wouldn't be shocked if the next couple months we don't remain in a trading range with the 200-day moving average or the 5,800 level in the S&P 500 as support and somewhere above 6,100 as resistance. Don't think much is going to happen.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.